Hello, my name's Mike Tolte. I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is one of a set of short screencasts continuing a sort of tour of the networking stack in Silverlight 4, specifically Silverlight 4 Beta with Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. Within one of these sections where we've talked about HTTP or TCP or WCF, it probably makes sense to watch the videos in order, especially in the HTTP section. Where we've got to at the moment, so we talked a bit about HTTP, we talked a bit about sockets, and we also talked a little bit about WCF. And so far, really, if we just scrub some of this stuff, I really talked a bit about... I really talked a little bit in video 10 about WCF over HTTP. We left out one aspect of that, which is a transport called polling duplex, which we'll try and come back to. What I want to do here in this video is talk about something that's new in Silverlight 4, which is WCF over TCP. So WCF on the full desktop framework has supported lots of transports for a long time. So it supports things like HTTP, it supports things like TCP, it supports things like MSMQ. It brings all those things together. In Silverlight, it only ever supported HTTP, HTTPS, up until we get to Silverlight 4, where we can do TCP scenarios. And what really is kind of stronger in that is that if you go back to the video we made about TCP streaming sockets, that's nice if you've got an existing socket server that you can't change. However, if you're building something with a Silverlight client talking sockets to a server that you can change, it's probably easier just to go down the route of using WCF, because the programming model is far, far simpler than the programming model you get in raw sockets. So what we'll perhaps try and do in this video is take the same scenarios we took here for TCP streaming sockets and rewrite it to use WCF over TCP. So let's go to Visual Studio and have a look at how we might do that. Okay, so we're in Visual Studio and we're using a lot of the same code that we used when we talked about raw TCP socket support in Silverlight. In that we have an application over here, it's a WPF desktop application. We can spin this up and it's just an orange form with a red circle on it. And where is it? There it is. And as we move the mouse around, you can see that the circle follows the mouse. That's kind of it. So we're just moving the circle through a bunch of coordinates. And previously we had this implemented on top of sockets such that it spins up and listens on a socket, and then Silverlight connected to that socket and they swapped coordinates backwards and forwards over that socket interface. I've reworked this to use WCF instead, so let's just shut this down. And let's take a look at how we've done that. Again, I've not been particularly elegant with this. I authored a WCF contract, so we have a service contract. It's called iIncoming contract, terrible name. And what that really is the communication from Silverlight to this WPF application. In fact, it doesn't have to be from Silverlight, it could be anything, but in our case it will be Silverlight. And then there's a method on there, an operation on there, which is for the Silverlight app to send us a coordinate. And I also put one on there which is a bit like a conversation, so it could tell us when it was finished, but I don't think I actually did anything with that. So fundamentally, the Silverlight application is going to call us to say, hey, here is our current coordinate, and that's kind of how that will be. We also have duplex communication over TCP, so I'm using a callback contract whereby WPF can send a point over to Silverlight. And if you take a look at that callback contract, If you take a look at that callback contract, it is also a service contract whereby the WPF server can send a point back to Silverlight. That's kind of how that works. In terms of implementing that, we implemented it here in this service class. So here is service. He implements that iIncoming contract, and he is kind of a singleton for this particular application. And he has a method that can send the point to a client, but that's only going to work after the client has first sent us a point. So when the client sends us a point, what we do is we check to see if we've already registered a callback interface, and we only support one. And if we haven't, we get the callback channel back to the Silverlight application. So this is just pure WCF programming. And then when the client sends us a point, we fire an event into our code to move our circle around on the screen. Similarly, we support this method, send a point to the client, such that if we have got a callback contract, a callback interface back to that client, we send them the current point from this application. And we've wired that into the UI, you know, so if you just go into the UI somewhere, it's probably quite ugly, but you can see we create the point service, we handle its event for when a point is received, and then we create a WCF service host and open that up around that particular service. When we get a point received, so when this event fires, we'll move our circle. And I suspect that when the mouse moves, we call the point service to move that back on the client. So it's pretty simple stuff, really. And the other thing to say is that we have configured this service host using a config file. So let's take a look at that config file over here. And what we're saying, let me just lay this out for you, is that we are offering up that service, and we're offering it up at NetTCP port 4502. Now again, when we talked about raw sockets, this was significant, and it's still significant here. A Silverlight client can connect to ports 4502 to 4534, and so we've picked one of those ports, in fact, the first one in the range. We're offering that over the NetTCP binding. There you go with the scheme and the actual binding. The contract is our contract, the config is down here. And all we're really doing here is switching the NetTCP binding to have no security. I don't think there's any built-in security on the Silverlight end of this binding, and so that's why we're doing that here. Because I think if I remember rightly, and I may be wrong, but I think if I remember rightly, this tries to do Windows authentication and to authenticate clients otherwise. But that might be a mistake. I'll just throw that in. We also are switching on metadata, so on HTTP, so you can walk up to this service on this URL here and grab its metadata. So if we copy that, then anytime this application here is running, let's just debug it and spin it up, we should be able to go to that URL I just showed you. So the application is running, and it should be serving up metadata from that URL. So if we spin up IE and have a look at that, that should be offering metadata. And you can see there's metadata coming back from that service. So it is a self-contained little thing that we can actually work with. Okay, so that's kind of that application. Let's close a few windows. Okay, so our Silverlight code that we've got over here is just a Silverlight app running onto a website where it's hosted. And it's exactly as it was in the socket video. So in the Silverlight application, what we've got essentially is just a UI with a circle on it as well. And when we use that application, let's just see if we can just spin it up. Let's just set that as a start project. Set that as the start page and just spin that up for a second. I think it's kind of blank at the moment. Let's just spin it up first. So essentially it displays a circle that follows the mouse pointer around on the screen as well, but at the moment it's not sending that information anywhere, and nor is it receiving any information from anywhere. What happens in our main page is we spin up an instance of this class I call communication, and we handle a point received event on it, and when we receive a point, we move our circle on the screen. And when you move the mouse, we tell the communication object to send the new location to whoever's interested. So we've kind of abstracted away the communication needs of this file, this code, into this one class called communication, which is just here. And at the moment, the communication class does nothing. It doesn't ever fire its event for a point received, and it doesn't ever send a point. And of course, that's what we want to plug WCF into. So let's set about doing that. Let's go and grab metadata. So the first thing we'll do is add a reference to the Silverlight client, and we need the socket server spinning up for that. So I'm just going to run that up outside of Visual Studio for a minute. Let's just go and spin that up here, and we'll just drop that down. And what we should be able to do then is go and add a service reference to that particular service. So we want to go to that address, which I've already got in my on my clipboard, and let's do a go on that. Hopefully we should be able to find a service over there for that. Let's call this proxy code, and let's click OK. Hopefully we should get stuff added into our project for that. I can then go and kill that WPF application just as soon as Visual Studio is finished with it. So let's kill that for a minute. OK, so that's fine. And you'll notice that references to things like the NetTCP assemblies have been brought in. And if we go and look at our client configuration, you'll see that what's been brought in here is an endpoint, which is a NetTCP localhost 4502 point service. It's using a custom binding, that's the way it's brought in over here, which is using binary message encoding, which was already there in Silverlight 3, but over HTTP, whereas now we're using it over TCP transport. That's kind of it. Okay, so if we go back to our communication file over here, we could start to use that. So let's keep ourselves one of these proxies, so we can say proxy code dot, and we need a proxy. That's going to be this client here, so let's say proxy. And at construction time here, we can make a new one of those. Let's say proxy equals a new one of those. And you'll notice that one of the things we can pass here is a callback instance. So the idea of who is it that implements the callback contract that comes back from the other side of this. So who is it that actually implements that? I guess we could implement that on the on this class here itself. So let's go and just implement proxycode.iIncomingContractCallbacks. This is a callback interface. Let's just go and implement that. And that's going to tell us whenever the server sends a point. Let me just move my variables around a little bit so they're at the bottom of the class here. So that is us implementing that callback contract. And so when we instantiate this guy here, we can make a new instance context, which is just a WCF thing. Instance context. And pass it this object here. So I think that should be okay. And then when the server calls us, that will pop up here. And obviously when we want to call the server, that's going to be here. So when we want to call the server, what we need to say is proxy dot. And we need to say client sends point async. And we can send it point.x, point.y. And we should probably also handle the completed event for that. So perhaps we should just say, you know, proxy dot completed plus equals some function, which I'll just rename. Let's just rename that to be, oh dear, no, F2. On client send completed, something like that. And let's just shorten down the code because it gets really long and wordy in here. Let's just do that. And let's just do the same thing here. And just bring in that namespace. And at the moment, I'm not going to do anything there. We should be checking error statuses and so on. But that's whenever we send a point across to the server, which is just that one line of code there. And when the server sends us a point, what we want to do is we want to raise our event point received. So we'll simply say if point received is not null. So if somebody's listening to this, then let's say point received this with a new event args, and that event args just nicely captures the point. So let's just go and say equals new point. And we want to pass x and y into that, I think. And actually, the handler for that does the right thing in terms of picking that up and pushing it into the application. Looks like I've got a syntax error there somewhere. What did we do? That looks okay to me. What's wrong with it? I always do this. We've got a semicolon there that we don't need. Okay, great. So that looks like it might be reasonable. Let's go and see what happens if we build this up. Let's build this up. And we can compile. And let's just go to our solution over here again and just specify properties on it. And I want multiple startup projects because I want the WPF application to start up. I'm going to kill this one for the minute. If you've seen some of the other videos, you'll know exactly where this is heading. And I also want the Silverlight web project to start up. Let's click OK. And let's see where we get to. We probably need to set a breakpoint perhaps in here. Let's see... Let's see how that goes. So let's press F5 and see what we've got to anyway. Okay, so our WPF application is up and running. Our Silverlight application is up and running, but they are clearly... okay, here's a send completed. Let's just see if we can see e.error in here. So we do have an error, and if we look at that, it's saying we can't connect to the point service. And if we can find inner exceptions on that, let's see if we can find an inner exception on there. Ooh, we're getting in a mess at 1024 here, but socket exception, forbidden is basically the message that we're getting back. And if you've seen the other videos around sockets, you'll know why this is, or at least why I think it is, we'll have to check. But it's going to be because we don't have a policy server running right now. And so even though we're using WCF, it's still sitting on top of the socket libraries, and you still have to have a policy server in there to make it work. If you haven't watched the video about TCP and sockets, then essentially, in order to make a socket connection from a Silverlight client like this, whether it's running in the sandbox in the browser or even in a relaxed sandbox as a trusted application out of the browser, in the beta right now, you still have to have a policy server. It sits and listens on port 943, and there is one of these things that just the whole source file for it is actually in the SDK. So all I did was take that source file and build it. And that's really what it is here. And what that thing replies back to, in my case, is a policy file. And the policy file says, that if you are on localhost 32768, you can speak to port 4502. And I'm just going to check that I am on localhost 32768, because if I'm not, that wouldn't be very good. But we are. There we are. Fine. So what we should be doing is running up that policy server. So let's go back to our configuration, and let's go and say, hey, policy server should start. Let's move that up so it starts first. Let's OK that. OK, let's press F5 and see if we get our policy server, our Silverlight client, our WPF application. And what have we got at the moment? Ah, OK. So I think we can see that Silverlight is now talking to the WPF application over WCF and TCP. If we look at the policy server, we can see that it did receive a request for policy, and it sent back policy, and that's why this communication was allowed to happen. It looks like... oh yeah, actually it is working. So the WPF application is also sending points to the Silverlight application. It seems a little sluggish at the moment. I don't know why it's going so slowly. We seem to have fast communication in one direction and slower communication in the other direction, so I'm not quite sure why that is. I'll look into that. But you can see that these two things have been wired together. And we've recreated what we did by using raw sockets, but we've done it with a much higher level programming model. And it's a much easier programming model. If you look at the code we're writing, we have to create an instance of the proxy. We have to feed it something to call back onto, which is kind of fine. We have to call the proxy to say, hey, send some data. And then the proxy will sort of call back to us when we want to get some data from the other side. And that's it. So this is much, much nicer than trying to write this stuff with raw sockets. And so I would encourage that if you can use WCF and TCP for those kinds of scenarios where you need it, then that's going to be better than trying to work with something like the raw socket layer. Of course, there's other places where you need to use different protocols like HTTP, but you'll know whether TCP is something that is actually relevant to you or not. Okay, cool. So let's leave that at that, and hopefully you get the flavor as to how that stuff all hangs together and how simple it can be.